I was reminded this morning that when I was 19, I had this opportunity to, for the first time, actually I was 18, and I remember that because our church was planning this missionary trip to Chile. And when you turn 18 in Brazil, that's when you can get like your driver's license. That's when you as a, you know, a boy, you are like looking forward to become 18. Here, I believe it's 16. So I was all excited that I just turned 18 and I was about to go on my first like international trip to Santiago, Chile. And we were going by bus. And it was about like a three-day bus ride to Santiago, Chile. 3 days bus ride. Just the ride itself was an adventure, was a trip in itself. We were a group of about like maybe 15, 16 people. We were so excited. There was going to be a conference in Santiago, Chile. And I was all excited. And we drove for about like 2 days. And we reached the frontier of Brazil and Argentina. And then, of course, they have to collect, like, you know, documents, and because it's the frontier. And when it came to my time, they asked for my ID. And I was so proud, you know, 18 years old, here's my ID, you know, and I'm coming, going to this trip internationally. And then she asked, like, where is the authorization from your parents for you to travel internationally? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm 18 now, you know? She's like, well, to be able to travel internationally, at least in South America, you need to be 21. And if you don't, you need your parents to still, like, you know, sign a letter for you. And so we tried everything for them to let me in, and they did not. They did not. I would have to wait until Monday on that place, until the how do you say, the place where you get the authorization? There is an office, the name of the office, it's, yeah, that office. I would have to wait until they open on Monday so that my mom and dad could, in Brazil, like, sign something, fax to this office for them to then let me go in. And that was, it was a Friday that we traveled, so I had to wait until Monday. Or they gave me the option, do you see that bus there? That bus is going back to Brazil, it's back to your home city. And that's the only one until Monday as well. So you can wait here until Monday, or you can go back. And there was, you know, there was a lot of emotions there. Everybody was so upset, and I was very upset. And so I decided to go back home. I decided that I wasn't going to wait there. And you know, for 2 or 3 days. So coming home in the bus, you can only imagine, you know, it was definitely a time with the Lord on that bus. You know, like, how could that happen? How could you do that to me? How, you know, the place where we bought the tickets, they didn't check this. They didn't tell us that, you know, you were traveling internationally and you need an authorization to go into Argentina and then into Chile. We had to go to two different port of entries. So so came back, and it ended up being like an amazing time with the Lord on that 2 days bus ride coming back to Brazil. Really, I still remember to this day the presence of the Lord with me. I cried a lot, of course. People in the bus, they were like, are you okay? Is something happening with you? Like, I'm fine. I'm just like, you know, to a few of them, I told them the story. So I got back home. And to make things a little more fun, right? I got, the bus got to my city, I think it was about 1 p.m. in the morning, and I had to take another bus to go to my house for another 45 minutes. So I was arriving at my home about like 2 in the morning, and I was living with my mom and dad. And when I come to the door, to the front door, you know, and I'm trying to be like very, very, you know, careful so that I don't wake up, you know, people. And my dad came, and his bedroom was right there by that door. My dad came with his gun and was like, "I got you," you know, and he was about to shoot me. We had this curtain that covered the whole door, and he's like, "Stop, stop, I'm gonna shoot you." And he almost killed me, you know, right there. My heart almost like stopped. My dad almost killed me. And I'm like, "Dad, Dad, it's me, it's me, it's me." So there was more crying right there. I got, you know, not only that, but I'm telling you this to tell you this. That Sunday, my friend, Pastor Cliff, who was a missionary in Brazil, he was behind and he was preaching that Sunday. And that Sunday, he preached this message that I'll never forget as well. He preached a message on the contrast between these two verses. One verse is James 3:1. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." And then he contrasts that with 1 Timothy 3:1. So James 3:1 contrasts with 1 Timothy 3:1, which says, "This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspire to be a church leader, he desire an honorable position, an honorable thing." And it was that weekend that God some way, somehow, put it in my heart, this calling to preach God's word. It was that day, sitting there, that I understood, not quite, but I understood what I was left, why I was left behind. Now, you know that God, when we talk about God doing things in mysterious ways, right? And we know that he does things in mysterious ways. But it was sitting right there with my friend preaching and preaching this message about like, hey, you know, we know that not are many to this, there are not many called to this position of like preaching and teaching in the church. But to those who do that, it is a very honorable thing. It is a beautiful thing. And that was when God placed in my heart this desire to share God's word with people. And I have been doing that since that time, since that time. And so this morning, when I'm sharing God's word with you guys, it is a blessing, it is a privilege. I think we can all share God's word. We can all communicate God's word. We don't have to have a special title. God's word is alive. God's word, I really believe God's word preach on itself. And when we communicate God's word, there is life that coming from communicating God's word that can do wonders in someone that it's hearing. And I want to take the advantage to say, if you are young here, if you are a young person, and many of you are, preaching God's word, it's an honorable thing. It is a beautiful thing. Sharing God's word with others, it's what this world needs the most. And you would choose an honorable thing to be a preacher, to be a communicator, to be someone who share God's word. Amen? So let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity today to open up your word and to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. Encourage us. direct us, heal us if we need healing, bring light in darkness if we need it. Father, thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So that was message one. This is message two here. since it's Labor Day, I thought about just sharing about the topic of rest. And the reason why, it's because, you know, we do live in a world where rest has been so like undervalued and not really like understood. And therefore, we have become, as a society, we have become overworked, we have become stressed, we have become exhausted. And, you know, the idea of taking a Sabbath, right? The idea of like having a rest with God, it's a practice that it's less and less being practiced in these days. And people are getting more and more like, you know, worried. And we live in times of great unrest. We know that, right? The economic situation that we are, you know, everybody is being pressed under, the violence that it's growing all around us, the uncertainty that we have in our nations with our future, especially, you know, in a year of election. You know, there are so many reasons this morning that can cause us unrest, that can cause us to worry, that can cause us to not have like hope and be like very preoccupied, right? So that's why resting, and that's why in God's word there is a special call for all the Christians, and I believe it's a call for all God's creation. There is a beautiful call for us to rest and to learn how to rest and to practice resting. Now, you know, we know that healthily speaking, if you talk to a doctor, you know, there is like great benefits of resting. We know that when we rest, we can, you know, we can get like a healthier spirit, mind, soul, even our bodies, right? We know that when we rest, we can get like more balance and less stress. We know that it's through rest as well that we can develop deeper relationships. It's through rest, better opportunity to evaluate life's direction. It's when we are resting. Increased productivity, believe me or not, we can get from a place of rest, and also a possibility for something new and a possibility for a fresh outlook come to us as well when we give ourselves an opportunity to rest. And from all the passages in God's word, this is the one that I love the most about rest. If you don't mind to open with me, it's Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and I would like to read from verse 1 to 11. Hebrews chapter 4, you're going to love this. It's beautiful. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you through this word, and it goes like this. Therefore, verse 1, since a promise remain of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of this rest. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed, we do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, says the Lord, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. I'm reading from the New King James, by the way. It's just a little different than the NIV. Verse 4 goes like this. For he has spoken of a certain place of the seventh day on this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest, Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another rest. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. In verse 11, to finish, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So, beautiful passage here, and there is a lot that we can learn right here about this rest that God has for all of us. And I thought, like, you know, great weekend on Labor Day and a great day tomorrow for us to be thinking with God about this and to evaluate our own selves, where we are in this spectrum of like resting with the Lord. You know, the verse 1, it starts saying, you know, there is a promise. It remains the promise of entering his rest. And this rest, you know, it's so, so important for us that the part B of the verse says, you know, make sure you don't come short of this rest. So, and we know in our, you know, if you have been a believer for a time, we know that the way that we enter this rest, it's when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, right? And he gives us the peace in our hearts. He cleanses us from our sin. He gives us a new life when we put our trust in him. And we start walking with the Lord, but that rest doesn't stop there. He wants us to, you know, enjoy that rest every single day. He doesn't want me and you to fall short of the rest that he has proposed for all of us. God, he has a place of rest for whosoever will. Whosoever will. For you, for me, here this morning, he has a provision of rest that he doesn't want you and me to fall short of it. He doesn't want you and me to lose this amazing opportunity, to miss this amazing opportunity to rest with the Lord. And then verse 2 that we read, you know, the gospel was preached to us, the good news was preached to us, as it was preached to them. To them was the good news of entering the rest in the new canon, right? With the leadership of Moses and then Joshua, and you know, many of them didn't enter that rest proposed by God, you know, to the people of God. But why they did not? Verse 2 said, the word which they heard didn't profit them because they did not mix with faith the word that they heard. They did not mix with faith in those who heard it. So think with me this morning, you know, unbelief kept the people of God, led by Moses, who escaped Egypt, from entering the rest of Canaan. But, you know, unbelief, it's also what keeps the believer from entering every single day in the rest that God has proposed for all of us. And not only the rest for salvation, but the rest that you and you need for every single day. This morning, it's a beautiful thing that the key to that rest was faith. The key to our rest, it's our faith. It's our belief. It's our trust. It's our relying in our Father. in our God, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we rest, we believe in what Jesus did for us in the cross of Calvary with the finished work that he did for us. We rest on the fact that, you know, he is who he said he is, and he will do everything that he said that he will do. It is important for me and you to be resting in those truths, not only for my salvation when I start walking with the Lord, but for every single day in my walk with the Lord, that he is God, that he is the one that he said he is, and he will do everything that he says that he will do. And that is a beautiful promise. It is important for our rest to understand and to believe and to realize that our God, he is in control. In a world where we see a lot of things out of control, we have a God, we have a Savior, that he is indeed in control. We are not in control of our lives most of the time. We are not in control of the outcomes, but we know and we trust in the one that he is in the control of every single thing. Now, you know, I do believe that, you know, this rest, it's like a three-part rest for sure, right? It's a rest that, as I said, you know, we first, you know, the initial part of this rest, it's when we place our faith in Jesus, right? But also this rest, it's a daily present rest that God has in store for each one of us. Every single day, God has a provision, and he wants for you and me to walk and to live from the position of rest and not strive. And I'm telling you, it's hard sometimes. It's hard some days to go about our day as we begin, you know, another week. Here we are. We have tomorrow to rest on Labor Day. And then we have another week to start. And I'm telling you, it's very easy to start on Tuesday, not from the position of rest, but from the position of like, oh my gosh. You know, I'm already like overwhelmed with many things. And maybe, you know, you have a reason to be overwhelmed. You have a reason to be experienced like unrest. But that's why you need that encounter with Jesus. That's why me and you, we need to sit down at the table of grace and receive rest. That's why Jesus said, now you come to me, all of you who is carrying a heavy burden. Come to me, bring all your burdens, bring all your doubts, bring all your unrest that you have in your mind, in your soul, and please exchange with me. And I'm going to give you a provision for today, a daily bread for today of rest. Folks, that's beautiful. That's necessary for all of us every single day. So putting our trust in Jesus, it's the beginning of our rest. But putting our trust in him daily, it's the sustaining of that rest. And we know that, you know, the future rest that he has in store for us, he is going to secure that rest for all of us when we die and we meet with the Lord. He is going to have that rest, that eternal rest for all of us. But it is so, so important that, you know, as we wait for that final rest, it is so, so important that we keep on going with the Lord, being filled with his Spirit, mixing faith with his word. What's the word of the Lord for you today? What's going to be the word of the Lord for you tomorrow? That you can hear that word, that you can mix that word with faith, and that the Holy Spirit would work rest into your soul. Peace into your soul. Direction into your soul. See, when we listen to God's word, we mix with faith. We take it to our hearts. We take it to our soul, to our spirit, to our body. You know, we don't hear the word of God alone. Hearing, it's not enough. We can come and we have an opportunity to hear God's word every week at least together. But, you know, James 1:22, he says, you know, don't be just a hearer of God's word. Mix with faith and be a doer. Because when you do that and I do that, I experience the rest that God has as a portion for me and you. Verse 3 beautifully said that we who have believed, we do enter that rest. Me and you. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me to daily enter into his rest? I think, you know, for many of us, it means like a daily exchange, right? Lord, here is my doubts. Here is the problems that it's like beyond myself. Lord, here it's all my anxiety. Lord, here it's all my anger that I'm carrying, including with you. Would you do something? And God, he will do. He will do. He promised that he will give you rest. All that you have to do is to come to him. Come to him. Have an opportunity to rest with him. And then in verse 6 to 9, you know, it says that this rest, it's not something of the past that, you know, the Israelites, they had an opportunity and they lost the opportunity and then God closed the door to rest. No, God, he keeps on talking about this is a today thing. This was a today thing for David, you know, 500 years after, you know, they not entering Cana. This is a today thing for you and me. Today, God is saying, I have rest for your soul. And all that I want you to do is to hear my voice, to not harden your heart. And folks, you know, I know, you know, there are so many things that easily in these days can harden our hearts. You know, you turn on the TV and you watch the news, and most of the times, I'm telling you, you leave that place with a hardened heart. Your heart is like, you want to like kill someone. You want to like, you know, straight out someone, right? And we need to be careful. It's so easy to have a hard heart, but God wants to work in our hearts. He wants us to give us a heart that it's a flesh heart. It's a soft heart. It's a heart that humbles himself before the Lord. It's a heart that agree, Lord, I'm not God. You are. I don't understand everything. You do. And you are here to rescue me. You are here to have a provision for me. And boy, I love the fact that, you know, in the middle of the turmoil, in the middle of the confusion that me and you experience every single day, there is a provision of rest. There is a provision of peace. There is a provision of refreshing from the Lord as we enter by faith into his rest. As we come to him and we say, Lord, I'm not resting. I'm not. I need you. I need you. And yes, we do need him every single day. We do need that provision of rest every single day. See, I love the fact that, you know, this rest, it's not necessary a geographical place, it can be, right? But it's not necessarily a geographic place. This rest, it's not necessarily a time set aside. This rest is a person. His name is Jesus. And do you know why this is so important? Because me and you, we have no excuse of time, of a place. We can have Jesus everywhere, in the middle of everything that we are doing. Last week, we sang a song, one of my favorites. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have everything else, but give me Jesus. Because it is in Jesus that I get my provision of strength, of rest, of direction, of light, of understanding, of wisdom. It is by trusting Him. It is by sitting at His side. It is by letting Him love you. It is so important for us to learn how to let God and Jesus love us every single day in our lives, because we need that we need that love. We need that peace. We need that provision of rest every single day. From the creation of the world, where God Himself rests, He has been calling on mankind and offering them His rest. And He says, I want you to enter in my rest. See, our idea of rest sometimes, it's just like inactivity, right? It's like, if I could only take a nap. But I wish that only take a nap could undo or could like give me what I need for my daily battles. No, God has in store way more than that. It's way more than just a nap. It's way more than just a time that I set aside. It's way more than just a day, you know, in Labor Day that we rest. It is a person that I am fellowshipping with every single day, learning from Him, letting Him give me the rest that I need. I love these two verses. I always carry these two verses together with me. It's John 15, 5 with Philippians 4:13. John 15, 5, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And you better believe that. You better believe that with all your heart and soul. Even though you can think like, you know, apart from Jesus, I can do a few things. No, I can do nothing. But then Philippians 4:13 says that, for I can do everything, all things, through Christ who give me the strength. See, when I receive that provision of rest, you know, that's when I became, you know, it's not like inactivity that is going to take place, but that's when I became like empowered by God. That's when, you know, my good works and everything that I do becomes like a fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of me. And we can say, just like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, you know, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who is living in me. So now I live in this earthly body by trusting, by resting in the Son of God who loves me and who gives Himself for me. And then I want to finish with verse 11 that says, you know, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest so that we are not counted as, you know, those that gave us an example of what it is to not trust Him daily, and to live in disobedience. He's like, you know, be diligent to enter, to enjoy, to take advantage, to possess the fact that He has a provision for you daily of rest. Be diligent to make sure that our only hope is in Christ Jesus. It's not in the next president. It's not in the next, you know, financial season. Make sure that your hope, your trust, your rest, it's coming direct from Jesus. And that is very, very good news for us today. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you and thank you. That even today as we speak, even right here in this place, we can have Jesus. And we can experience rest by having Jesus in our heart. But having Jesus right beside us. By having Jesus just like reaching out with his arms and saying, do you know what? I love you today. I know where you walk. I see you. And I have a provision for you. And I am with you. And I am inside of you. And I'm going to go before you. And I'm going to be like behind you. I'm going to be on your side. And my arm is going to be underneath you. And I'm going to protect you from the top. I'm going to be all around you. You can trust me, my child. But right now, just please sit right here beside me. And let me give rest to your soul. Give it to me, all your heavy burdens. Exchange it with me for my rest. And let me refresh you every single day. Let me carry your burdens every single day. Bring them to me. Have a refreshing from the Lord every single day. Enter into my rest, oh my child. Father, we love you. We thank you for that provision of rest. We thank you for this Labor Day weekend. And Father, as we celebrate and as we enjoy family and enjoy maybe some time off, may we take advantage, Lord, to have time with you and to have you ensure to all of us, it is well, oh my soul, it is well. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen, amen, and amen.